Welcome back to Dateline New Haven on WNHH, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. John Vileka always makes New Haven tick. He's a former city assistant police chief. He's the current sergeant at arms for the state senate. You might have noticed that his team, the Democrats, won big.
Yes, we did.
We're not going to talk about whether there's a connection to that or not. And he's the resident criminal justice expert here at WNHH. John's here to help us make sense of the latest mishigas involving that topic in New Haven. Welcome back, John. Thanks for coming in. It's been a while.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
And I think any minute now, Harry Drost, the WNHH station manager and resident Donald Trump devotee, is going to be joining
resident
us.
Resident Republican. Is yeah. Dwayne.
So we'll deal with that. But in the meantime, John, did you see a video I had on Facebook?
Right.
Where I'm going to ask you close to the mic. So what happened was the other day I was walking back from press conference, a Ned Lamont press conference, actually, at Gateway.
Yeah.
About 11:30 in the morning. And I'm going by 55 Church Street, which is near the Dunkin' Donuts at Crown. And
right.
I'm Center Street, between Center and Crown. And they got a nice bus shelter there. It's heated, all mm-hmm. modern. So it's kind of nice. So a lot, it's an area where a lot of druggies hang out. So a lot of people hang out in that bus shelter and sell and use drugs.
Right.
So it's been controversial. People, the store owners say, get them out of here. People say, you know, people want to wait for the bus. So police got to deal with this classic broken windows, quality of life issue. Not an easy issue to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking through and I'm right there in the throng with like 20 people there. And these two officers start riding their bikes right through us in figure eights. They weren't being jerks. They weren't being mean to people, but they were, you know, just riding their bikes right through everybody in a figure eight to kind of break everybody up.
Right.
And then this one officer, Jeremy Elliott, starts calling out an announcement. So I mm-hmm. listen. He says, you're not allowed to stand here unless you're waiting for a bus.
Right.
This is a federal building, which actually is a lie. It's not a federal building.
I'm not sure that has anything, but go ahead.
We're going to check IDs if you don't leave.
Okay.
So then they go back to figure eights. I go up to him and say, hey, am I allowed to stand here? Because I'm not waiting for a bus. He goes, you can do whatever you want. I said, but you just said that people can't stand here. So you heard what you heard. He wouldn't talk. And
right.
Well, what do you think about what he was doing?
Well, are you asking me if you can stand there or if you can't? I mean, the answer to the question is yes and no. Is he right? So you're not dealing with any. You're not dealing with any state. I watched the video a couple of times. You're not dealing with any state, any statute. I mean, it's not disorderly conduct.
It's not
breach of peace.
Though.
It's not. It is. It falls under our ordinances, right? So you have two ordinances that may apply: 1871 and 187. 1871 is the loitering in a drug zone. That could apply, but you have to. There's certain criteria you have to meet there. There's four areas that you have to meet.
Is that a state statute?
No, that's a New Haven City ordinance. 18-7.1. You have to. People have to be stopping vehicular traffic. They have to be impeding pedestrians. They have to be engaged in hand-to-hand transactions. So none of that meets, even though this is a drug, you know, the shelter is known for drugs, but we have to do some surveillance and kind of firm that up before we moved in on that. However, 18-7 is just the strict loitering statute, which says any public area controlled by the city, three or more people cannot stand by idly, and they're subject to being moved on by the
police. Wait, you can't hang out on the green and just with three people?
Hear me out.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
So 18-7 says that, basically. Now, the reality of the situation is, Paul, there are two things at work here. One, is that the face we want to put on the PD? No, we don't want
Before
to.
Before we get to
two,
the pros and cons, I just want to know the law. The law is in New Haven, three people can't stand together in New Haven anywhere?
Right. The city ordinance, 18-7, the loitering city ordinance says any sidewalk, or anything controlled by the city, any area controlled by the city, it's a public way, three people or more standing by idly are subject to being removed by the police, in order to be removed. If you don't comply, it's a misdemeanor, $50 fine, I believe. Now, the thing is,
what if you're waiting to get into a restaurant?
Right. So here, the thing is, in Connecticut, these ordinances, like Hartford has one, Waterbury, Bridgeport, they were designed in the 90s to disrupt drug trafficking, right? But they've never been challenged in court. Other states have challenged these, and they've been deemed unconstitutionally ambiguous, right? So in other words, they've been shot down. I would assume that if this was ever challenged, this would be unconstitutionally ambiguous because it's not setting forth any type of prohibited mm-hmm. action, right? But in Connecticut, it's never been challenged, so therefore remains enforceable, right? But what happens is if it's not challenged, if it's not deemed unconstitutionally ambiguous, it encourages arbitrary enforcement by the police. That's why we usually stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Right. So a drug unit, like my unit, that's the reason I know these ordinances, because the drug unit, we would use 1871, but we would do surveillance first. We would see which, and then once we had a foundation to move into the area.
There have been a lot of, I think, no, that's not
the foundation. They cannot move in there based on simply this drug arrest. They have to meet their specific criteria they have to meet. They can't go to a place, hypothetically, let's say that place was riddled with
needles,
anything. There's been 100 reports there for the past year. That doesn't mean that today you can go in there and sweep everybody away. That means you have cause now to take a look at what's going on over there. And if you meet these criteria, move in under the authority of that ordinance, right? You simply just can't go in and grip and rip like we always talk about. You can't just do that. So I'm not sure where the federal billing came about, but listen, those are, I know Jeremy Elmy's a good cop. Right,
he's the guy who almost got fired for sexually harassing this teenage girl.
Maybe I'm thinking Chris Elliott. There's another
Jeremy Elliott was going to the high school, and he's a resource officer. Then Fonger to a job at night. Trying to get home to him for a massage.
Right, so listen, so I don't know him. He's a younger guy, but I'm thinking there's another Elliott that was in the task force when I was working there. Maybe I think it might have been Chris Elliott. But anyways,
people are kind of amazed that guy still has a badge.
He might be a younger guy in the job. Long story short, is what I'm saying to you is that they're not necessarily wrong. What you're seeing is kind of a breakdown between, because you know. We all know what's going on. They're being told to keep the area clear without any further direction, right? So they're coming out and they're trying to do their job without the necessary information that they have. Now, you know me, I never had a problem holding the cops accountable. So if I, as an old man here, I'm retired 8 years now, if I could spew these ordinances out, you should be able to tell the public, right? If you're an officer, you should know these ordinances, especially if you're going to act on them and you start moving people around, you should be able to explain it just the way I did. So there's where I think the real problem is. You know, there's not enough. You're going to ask these cops to do things, but you have to educate them on what they're doing and why, right? So long story short, singular people waiting for the bus or doing anything else there? No. There has to be a group of three standing by idly.
And then there might have been three. I mean, there were 15 people there. A lot of them waiting for the bus. But
right, but I mean, a group of, not 15 people in, not 15 singular people in a crowd. You follow me? Mm-hmm. A group of three people that are obviously part of a group. And are standing by idly. In that
year, three friends like met for lunch and they wanted to just sit there on the sidewalk and talk for 2 minutes about the Yankee game.
Trust me, I'm not telling you no, this is a good ordinance. I'm just saying nobody has challenged it. Once it's challenged, it will be shot down, I would believe.
Mm-hmm.
It would be shot down, but nobody has challenged it, so it remains. Mm-hmm. Right? So we could still use it.
What about now, the other part was I kind of sympathetic to the cops because as you say, they're under pressure to do something. They know there's bad activity. What should they have done? To make things in order on that block.
Really what should be done here is, you know, you got your walking beats. This is what you say. You want your walking beats, your bike patrols. When the walking beats back up. Now, you don't necessarily have to do anything. Your presence in there is enough to deter what you're trying to deter.
What about the figure eights?
You know, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I couldn't even comment on that. I know why they did that. I didn't see that on the video.
Ray Hassett was giving fines to people like my wife. For allegedly riding on the sidewalk.
Well, the police officers can ride the bikes on the sidewalk. Yeah, I know. There's an exemption to that. So, yes, I get where you're going with it. Could have been handled better by the cops? Absolutely, sure. Yeah. But are they, you know, do we beat up the patrol officers because they're following orders and they haven't been given enough knowledge? I tend to think not. I would want to talk to their supervisor, not necessarily them.
Yeah. I spoke to Police Chief Anthony Campbell about it. He thought they were fine. He said you're allowed to lie when you're in the solving a crime, like for instance, if you're interrogating a murder suspect, you're allowed to lie, like we have the body, or so and so.
I'm not sure how
that
translates to this. How does that translate to what they're
doing?
So
he's saying, you know, I said, well, it's not a federal building, and they can't just go checking IDs, right, John? You can't just say we're going to check IDs in a crowd, can you?
I mean, listen, can you say that? Maybe. I mean, but do we want to say that? No, of course not. You're not out there as the frontline patrol officer doing an investigation to BS the public. If there are people standing there and you're an officer giving a direction to leave, you have to tell the people why you're giving them that direction.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, can you, yes, do we do homicide investigations and do we, in the interrogation room, do we say we have certain evidence when we don't have it? Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that doesn't translate to what they're doing in the field.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Harry Jones? What do you think about the whole episode?
Well, what happened? Everything is...
Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now? Good. So my thing, the only thing I heard is that cops could, I mean, I heard everything, but the one I want to talk about is cops could ride on sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
Cops could use their cell phones in the cars, right?
Cops can use their cell phones in the car if it's pertinent to a call, if they're receiving information from dispatch or something to that effect. But they shouldn't, they're bound by the same rules as to they, in other words, if they're calling their wife, you know, to talk about what's for dinner, no. No, how, that's not where the exemption
How often does the a cop need to be on a cell phone? I you know, because I see cops on the cell phone.
Yeah,
all
I know where
time.
You're going with it. Yeah, I know where you're going with it. This is a younger generation. They're tethered to their phones. I mean,
how often do they need that, though?
They don't.
There was an officer who hit a woman pedestrian crossing by the Yale British Arts Center. He was on the phone, and they said he wasn't at fault because she was about a quarter of an inch to the right of the line of the walking of the crosswalk.
I don't know about
that. See, that's my pet peeve with everybody who's always on their phone.
I'll tell you this, that sometimes, though, if dispatch has your number and they have, there are things that they won't, it's not something that we condone and we like them doing, but if they feel if it's sensitive information, they don't put it over there, they will text the officer as they're arriving, you know, and that's not something we should do.
So other people can't hear it on the police.
Right, it's not something we should do because we need an official record of it, right, but it is done.
So what did you think about that whole episode, Harry? So they've had drug problems at this bus shelter. Cops come in and do figure eights, announce, you're not allowed to stand here. It's a federal building, which is not. And we're going to take IDs, and then they kind of scatter people. What do you think?
See, with that is, for me, I let the, with situations like that, I go by the cop's judgment, right? If there's drug dealing going on, and they feel like they need to clear the area, I just feel... You should clear the area.
Right, but that's what I'm talking about, how there is an unconstitutional aspect to that ordinance because it's arbitrary, right? Listen, I'm a cop. I'm pro-police. Trust me when I tell you. I love my cops. I think this New Haven PD is one of the best in the country. But you cannot arbitrarily go out there and push people from certain areas. You just can't without reason. That's all there is to it. What this is a job for the drug unit. Okay, if you're having drug problems in the bus shelter and that's what's going on, go get a coffee at Starbucks, okay, and watch it for an hour. And then when you move in, know who you're going after and take them out of there. Everybody else needs to be left alone, Harry. Be honest. Let's go. Listen, what if you're waiting for your wife over there to drop off your lunch or something, and all of a sudden the cops come and say, look, move. Like, look, my wife doesn't know New Haven. I got to stay here for my lunch. No, you got to go. So now you're screwed. You can't eat now because some other guy 2 weeks ago, you know, overdosed in the bus shelter. I mean, come on, is that right?
No, it isn't. But, and is it happening frequently? I'm just saying.
Yeah, they are doing it regularly.
They're doing
now,
it regularly?
With the bike thing.
See,
last
that's
week.
The thing. But
the store
but
owner there, the
bodega,
was real happy. He said, now I'm not having these problems. People who are waiting for the bus in bad weather were coming to my store because they couldn't go in the bus shelter because all these druggies are in there.
Yeah, because that's another thing.
Well, the end doesn't justify the means. I get that, okay?
I prefer to be standing at the bus stop and them telling me, move over, instead of having somebody overdosing at my feet.
So listen, here's the point I'm going to make about this video. And if you go back and look at, it's not the figure eight. It's not the nonsense of the federal building and everything else. When questioned about what's going on here, there's a black person waiting for the bus, a black woman waiting for the bus. She doesn't think it's right what's going on. There's a white woman waiting for the bus who thinks it's fine. So now ask yourself, first of all, there's a breakdown in how the police are viewed. All right, by people of different communities.
Right.
Secondly, what does action like this do to the people who don't have trust and faith in you to begin with? It erodes it further. Is the juice worth the squeeze? In other words, is this action really necessary if that's the effect it's going to have? I say no, to be honest with you. Pass it off to your drug unit. Let your drug unit look at it.
I kind of agree, but I didn't understand the white woman, black woman thing. He's being fair, right? He's doing it to both of them.
My point is,
and I know the perception on each side.
John's point wasn't who they were doing it to; was how different people reacted.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Perception is everything, and perception and if a white woman wasn't there, it would be racist.
No,
right?
It's not. It's not perception. It's not perception. The numbers speak to the fact that we stop more people of color, we arrest more people of color, and they view us differently, right? And if you're going to work, listen, in our city, we champion community policing. We champion that we're not like that, right? But is that the truth?
Well, do you feel that it's necessary?
I feel it's necessary
to have a quota and stop as many white people as you do.
There's no such thing as quotas.
Black people? That's the thing, but I'm saying, so do you go by history, you know, the history of violence, or do you know what's been happening in the last 6 months, or do you go by, you go, well, maybe I should be nice because they're a certain color?
Yeah, yeah, actually, yes. Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. I think you go out there and you have to. If you are in an urban environment, okay, a minority-driven city, which this is, if you are not cognizant of the way minority communities view the police and you don't conduct yourself that way every day with that in the back of your mind, you're not going to do a good job here. So absolutely, if you don't go to that crowd of people and in the back of your mind, know in your mind how the minority community feels about you before you address those people, you're not going to be successful, Harry. That's just the end of the story.
Should you not care what the white person feels when you're telling them at the bus stop?
No, I didn't say that.
Move over.
I said that, but how about this? How about if I go up to this group? The white person was completely content with the explanation she got. However, the black woman wasn't. So why don't I explain myself and talk a little bit more so now everybody feels okay with what I'm doing?
There was a second cop there, Carm, you see him at the end having a nice conversation with black woman there about like
what's that?
You saw Derek Cohen, the other cop, having a nice conversation.
Yeah, listen, they're good.
With the black,
I don't mean to beat up the New England PD.
They are
a great police department. Whether you guys, you know, not you guys in town, but whether the city itself, they don't know this. This city doesn't know how lucky they are to have this police department, because this police department is tolerant. Okay, they dropped the ball. I'm not saying we all dropped the ball here and there, but if you were to go to other jurisdictions and interact with the police there, you would run back to New Haven. Trust me when I tell you.
And you would be listening, if you're in New Haven, to Dateline New Haven on WNHH FM, your home for community radio, 103.5, live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. We're talking criminal justice with WNHH's criminal justice expert, John Valeca, and our other expert on all things Trump and otherwise, Harry Droz, our fearless station manager. So, John, you were weighing in. I love when you weigh in on the comments on our independent stories. There was a big, we've talked about this before.
I'd like
big
to see me get beat up.
About the Civilian Review Board. People want an agency to watch over the cops. And the majority in the Board of Alders got a referendum passed. We have to create one with teeth rather than what already existed.
Yeah.
But then they keep coming back. It's taken them 5 years because they keep coming back with plans that have no teeth. It's what we had before with a little minor adjustment, who gets to pick them. And everyone turns out for hours and says, you can't do this. We need subpoena power.
Right.
They did that again this week. It was a rerun. A committee passed it while everyone in the crowd said don't, because there's no subpoena power. And what was interesting to me this time was the chief and the assistant chief came, and they were pretty much on the side of the crowd. They said, this is going to work only if people have faith in it.
Right.
So they're telling you, do it in a way so they have faith in it. So why don't you do it in a way they have faith in it? They're saying, the lawmakers, but we keep being told we can't give subpoena power to this group. Other groups say you are being told you can. You can have, the Corporation Council said you can. You can maybe deputize someone from the Board of Alders, president, who has subpoena power. Or maybe, you and I have always felt you should just maybe put it in the police commission because they have subpoena power. Well, what do you think about subpoena power?
Well, I think when I commented at one point, I think it's way overrated, to be quite honest with you. I don't think, listen, everybody says they want subpoena power, but what do you want it for? You want, like I said in one of the comments, is, you know, God forbid there's a shooting, it's questionable. Don't think for a second the CRB, because you have subpoena power, you're going to subpoena a body cam video that the police are withholding. That's not going to happen. The state's attorney is going to quash that subpoena, and you're not going to get anything. The reality is, most of the time, right? No, listen, take the cops out of the equation. The cops have to cooperate by order of the chief. They have to cooperate with the Civilian Review Board. They can't say no. They have to. You're going to give Garrity, right? You're going to give them the Garrity warning. They're going to have to. So who are you talking about? You're talking maybe civilian people that were a witness that would not come forward otherwise.
But you think the union won't protect some cops from going before the board if they don't want
to? No, the union is going to say, listen, give him Garrity and he'll talk. They can't.
What does Garrity mean?
Garrity warning is essentially saying that, listen, we'll talk, we'll give a statement, but anything you use against me cannot be used in a criminal proceeding. Mm. Right? So in other words, it's administrative. So if it's an administrative hearing, the chief simply orders the cop. The cop doesn't go. He's in a violation. He has to go. So the union can't do anything about that. Okay, as long as you give Garrity, the union's out. They can't do anything.
But what's the point if it can't be used against them? Then there won't be any kind of repercussions.
That's how it goes in internal affairs too, right? You're working in internal affairs. You have a cop shooting. They don't talk unless you give Garrity.
Then can they be brought up on charges?
No, because they could say, "Is this?" And they do. Is this an administrative investigation or this is criminal? If this is criminal, I'm not going to talk. I got my right in a criminal investigation not to talk either, right? But if it's administrative, I want Garrity or I'm not going to talk.
Gotcha.
Right? So now you come into this whole thing. So now what have we been saying in the detective division for years and years and years, and people have been killing us about our solvability rate? The reality is if somebody doesn't want to cooperate, you could hit them with 100 subpoenas. They're not coming in. Trust me. And when they come in, they're not telling you nothing. So you can have all the subpoena power you want. If you cannot make a person want to help if they don't want to. And that's just the long and the short of it.
What do you think about CRB, Harry?
Well,
TCB with CRB.
I actually think John should go and explain that subpoena power to Congress, who are planning to subpoena Trump.
I knew,
to
and
death.
This come back to Trump. Okay, let's bring it back to the subject. So Christian Bruckhardt does a lot of great comments too. He's an
officer. Smart
he puts
kid.
His name on smart it. He's a really smart guy. Yeah. So he pointed out the fact that a lot of the activists at this hearing, many of whom were affiliated with Yale Law School, were criticizing cops because they live out of New Haven. So they say they don't care. They don't live here. No consequences. So he writes, so help me figure this out. The cops who don't live in New Haven are bad because they're allegedly less invested in the city. Not true, by the way. And he actually lives in the city and he started a business. But Yale students who sequester themselves in their gated colleges where they're guarded by their own police and security then flee at the first job offer are here to help?
Yeah, well put.
Harry?
I don't know.
Okay, we solved that one. We solved that one. I actually think the solution is police commission to make it a real police commission and really make it independent and have them form the civilian review board there.
Like I wrote there, Anthony Dawson for years wanted this.
And now
you're the guy. You're the guy now. Stand up. Do what you got to do. Don't hide. We haven't heard from anybody from the police commission, right?
Yeah.
So you got subpoena powers.
But they're cozy with the police commission. They never give it. They never call the cops.
You know, listen. You're going to have a CRB.
They love having their badges to ride around. I'm not saying anyone in particular, but you know what I'm talking
about. Listen, but hypothetically, let's say a CRB passes with subpoena power. Could you imagine the conflict between the police commission? Now, because it's, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You have a body like that, a CRB with subpoena power. Now the police commission is going to want to get in the game. All right? So now you have these two bodies going at it now. And in the collateral damage is Anthony Gamble trying to run the police department when everybody is the chief now, it seems like. You know what I mean?
Well, meanwhile, John Vileka, our resident criminal justice expert, Anthony Campbell's trying to run the police department as the chief when all these cops are jumping ship because they get paid $20,000 or more in suburban departments where they have less crime to deal with and they get better benefits. City of New Haven's broke. Right now, we're in arbitration because it's been 2 years since this police contract. They hit a dead end and they brought it up to arbitration. Why does arbitration take so long, John?
I don't know.
It's been months and it's going to take months more. I don't know enough about it. You've been involved in it.
Yeah, I just know that it takes a long time. I don't know why.
I mean, months.
To be honest, yeah. Sometimes years. So it depends. This will, but some of them.
Why?
No idea.
Okay.
Got to be something at the state level.
But your solution
really
was get rid of walking beats, have fewer cops, pay the cops you have. They are more.
No, I didn't necessarily get rid of walking beats. I said, by shrinking the force, you're going to have to part with some of the...
Are there even any walking beats now? I never see walking beats anymore.
No, I mean, you're down officers, so you don't have them.
But I'm saying we're at a level, around 400 officers,
right,
that we were at when we had lots of walking beats when you were young on the force.
502, well, almost 500 cops.
Well, we have 400 now.
Yeah.
But when you started, there were only 400.
Yeah, there was less than 400, actually.
So then why were there able to be walking cops then, but there isn't the ability to do that now?
Well, I mean, there were walking beats then too, but I mean, don't forget the overtime is a little bit more back then. I mean, you had officers working, and we didn't have. Listen, the deployment scheme now calls for more cops than it did back then.
Why?
Because just the way things have changed, everybody has been jockeying for cops, and as time went on, look, when we started, we had walking beats, but you got to remember something: we had specific walking beats. We didn't have walking beats everywhere. We had walking beats in the areas that were. We had
downtown, the hill.
Right, downtown, the hill. But we had the woman that got killed at Putnam and Liberty. Remember that? After that, we got a walk-in beat. Kimberly Square had a walk-in beat. But there weren't just arbitrary walk-in beats stuffed everywhere. And don't forget, they were singular cop walk-in beats. They weren't doubled-up cops. I walked a beat by myself.
And why are they doubled now?
That's just a deployment scheme. That's how they put them there. The only, in certain areas, there were double cops. Like Kimberly Square had two cops. But a lot of them were singular walk-in beats. And
why would that change? What's the thinking? Safety?
I don't know. At one point, I think, 9/11 changed everything. All right. Everything became officer safety after 9/11. A lot of times we didn't even have walking beach. We put cops in cars. We had two-man cars, you know, at that point. Personally, I just don't think, and we need this many cops. That's all there is to it. The crime is low. If we're struggling to keep
some people
cops,
argue that's why the crime is low, but you would argue it's more than
that's nonsense.
It's the investigative work that got the Cody Franklins off the street.
No, maybe, but crime is going down everywhere. There are so many different theories about why. And the biggest one is the aging out of the offending demographic.
But I mean, why is it going down more here than in places like Bridgeport and Hartford?
It's only going down slightly more here. And don't forget, crime statistics are really fungible. Hinge upon what you report and what you don't. All right. So look at the homicides and the shootings, the things that you can't bury, the things that you can't recode into something else.
And aren't we doing better than Hartford and Bridgeport on that?
Slightly. But everywhere is doing better. New York City is doing better than us. Right? And they're not, you know, they don't do all the thing. They don't attribute everything to the things we attribute to.
But New York City is also getting rid of a lot of things that they would consider violations. So this way, if it's not a violation, it's not on the books.
It's not reported and crime is down. Exactly.
But violent crime, as you say, is harder to bury.
Violent crime, you cannot bury. There's no way to bury that. The thing is, here's if you think of it politically, if you shrink the force and you do this, and then crime goes up, you're all done. Right?
Right. So
you're
not going to do that. Politics can be hard. That's why the mayor's not going to approve it.
Yeah, and listen, if I was the mayor too, I wouldn't do it either, because where's crime going to go from this point?
Because crime is cyclical. You can have...
Right. There's crime is only going one place shortly, and it's going back up. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to skyrocket to 2011, but it's going to go up. It's low, right?
Let me ask you one thing before I let you go. It's No Shave November. Okay, so the cops are allowed, and they're into it. They grow beards, and they're all psyched to raise money for cancer research for November. Why don't we let cops shave in the first place?
Listen, donate to cancer. I don't like the beards. I don't like the beards. I don't like the polo shirts. I don't like the baseball hats. I don't like it. This doesn't look, they look grubby. They look scruffy. They look terrible.
I wear a beard. I don't think it's scruffy.
Well, you're not a cop.
But why should cops? I mean, I understand this idea. That's a very military model, right? That you're a soldier and you all look the exact same.
I just think they look better. That's just a personal opinion. It's got nothing to do with the military. I was never in the military. I just think it looks better. I like the traditional police jersey with the button down, with the actual badge on it.
And what's the reason? Why is this important for the public?
I think it shows continuity of what you expect from your police department. When you envision what the police officer looks like, you have an envision in your head. You don't expect...
Well, we used to picture them all as male, and now they're women as well. When I picture a cop, I want a cop, and a lot of them are like this, you know, who are smart and serious about the job and keeping people safe. I don't care if they got a beard.
Well, I do. I mean, I care if I judge a cop when they walk in the room, whether their uniform is pressed or whether it's well kept, whether they're clean shaven, whether they take care of
themselves.
You're
saying that paying attention to those details show some kind of discipline and commitment.
I think so, yeah.
That's that theory. What do you think, Harry?
I agree with that. I prefer a force that's uniform, you know, across the
right.
board.
Shine shoes, creases in your shirt.
It
shade.
Shows that you care.
Shows that you're right.
See, I like a cop who shows they care about what they do rather than what's on their face.
Right, sure, at the end of the day. But listen, if somebody's going to take the time to do all that and present themselves well, the chances are good that they're going to know their job pretty well, too.
Right? So you're against riding bikes through the crowd and yelling that you're
going to check
IDs?
I'm against bicycle cops altogether.
Why?
Because I just don't believe in all that fluffy
Doesn't
BS.
It let them carry a lot of grain while also being in closer contact? Getting in good shape, too?
Such a bunch of nonsense. But listen, there's good spots for walking.
Harry, there's no need for Harry today. Yeah.
And bike patrols. Mm-hmm. However, you can't cannibalize your 9/11 response because you want guys on bicycles. You can't have people waiting 3 hours for calls because half your force is farting around on bikes and walking beats, right? Put them in a police car. Be a cop. Come on.
And no beard.
And no beard. Get your beard, iron your uniform,
shine
get in a police car, shine your shoes. Yes.
Press. Who's going to press the clothes? I guess at home with the iron, right?
Well, yeah, we all do. Sure, of course. No, not now, you don't have to, because you wear a polo shirt and a baseball hat to work, but...
Well, if we didn't have John Villeca, where would we be in understanding criminal justice in New Haven? Thanks so much for joining us today on Dateline New Haven. Thanks, John Villeca, the best in the business.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate all the insight you give us, and also Harry Jost. Thanks for keeping the station running, and You didn't need 2 cents as much today. John was on fire.
I know.
Yeah, so I think I had a nitro shot in this coffee. Next time I'm going to forego that.
Next time
get
a double because we love it. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Feel to Be Free. from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Fly free with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.